speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Today I want to speak for a few moments on the spiritual strategy for victory, because I know that all of us are looking for victory, and we realize a strategy has to be struck, and that of course means that we have to make some plans. And that spiritual survival that we desire will be that which comes as a result of our preparing for the things that are before us. Without putting on the whole armor of God mentioned in Ephesians 6, we can't possibly have a survival ship. We cannot possibly have victory. But we sang a moment ago, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. And that is so important, because if you don't do so, you will fall in battle. The battle against the high places of the world, those imaginations, those thinkings that people have that are against the Lord, they need to be pulled down as the strongholds of error. And we need to stand up for the truth, and we need to offer the truth to the world as the hope of the world. That is really the only spiritual strategy for spiritual victory. You know, many people today are preparing for chemical warfare. They're buying gas masks. They're stocking up on things that they think will be helpful to them. But really, we need to, as Christians, stockpile for our spiritual welfare. We need to accumulate those things that will help us in the day of need. And when we think about coming home, of course, we realize the Christian will survive. He will survive, and he will have victory, whether living or dead. It is said in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 7 and 8, that whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, only those who obey the gospel are the Lord's. For Galatians 3:26 through 29 says, we are all made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Now, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we're all one man in Christ, and if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we can be heirs, and we can have victory. But it will be because we've obeyed the gospel, and because we've continued to walk faithfully in those things that the Lord God of heaven has given us. It is a wonderful thing to think about coming home, and I know that you must have anticipated that as you thought about coming here for this service today. I appreciate the fact that you have seen the beauty of the Word. There is no more beautiful word than home. Home is a word that stands for a great deal in our lives, doesn't it? It is a word that conveys the beautiful thought that we are able to be where friends and loved ones are. Best friends that we have in the world are in the home. And as the one said, be it ever so humble, there's just no place like home. Because when we get there, we know that we are in a place of love. We're in a place of safety. We're in a place of rest. We're in a place of peace and contentment and pleasure. We're in a place of tranquility. And of course, in these perilous times in which we live, don't we look forward to going home? Just to be safe, to know that we're in the confines of our own house, to know that we're around friends and those who are of like precious faith. All of those things suggest home. And so as we think about home this morning, we know in these perilous times we need God. We need Him more than we've ever needed Him before. We recognize that without His Word, we wouldn't be able to have Him. But some people are leaving the very moorings by which they can have God in their lives, because they leave the Word of God. The Word of God is the instrument, as we shall learn today, through which the Holy Spirit, God in Christ, work. And if we leave the Word, of course, we have left that which is able to help and bless and direct our lives. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 6, 2, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass, he which is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, he said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have the law of Christ. And when we have that law, of course, in His Word, we deny ourselves its blessings unless we use it as our chart and use it as our compass. Unless we use it as that which is the mooring for our hope and the anchor for our soul. That is always a needful thing. What do you base your hope on? Where do you put your strength or trust that your strength is? No other book in the world like the Bible, is there? And no other God like our God. And no other word like the Word of God. It is perfect. It is complete. It is authoritative. It is powerful. It is that which is able to direct us, and it is completely trustworthy. We obey it to be wise and to be saved, and it brings to our souls great blessings. It brings, first of all, as we come home to the Word of God, safety. There's that safety for the soul. Paul could say in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto his care against that day. So there's safety for the soul. Do you have that? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you at home with the Word of God? Does it direct your steps and guide your way? It is the light by which we need to go to heaven. In Psalms 119, verse 130, he said, the opening of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding of unto the simple. It doesn't give that if it stays closed, friend. Maybe you need to come home to the Word of God as well as coming home to the East End congregation. Maybe you need to pick up your Bible on a daily basis and read it and study it. If you don't do so, you're not going to have the light that is able to direct your soul. You cannot commit yourself unto one who is able to see you safely through all the difficulties of life. Hebrews 6:19 says that word is an anchor to our souls. It is an anchor, he says here, sure and steadfast, which means it makes us perfectly secure. Now, I don't know of many things in the world that can make you perfectly secure, do you? But the Word of God can. The Word of God is able to do that. It is able to make our soul perfectly secure because it's anchored. And even in the storms of life, though it is tossed to and fro, it'll not be tossed by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, because you know the truth. And you have the truth, and you're able to live by the truth. And it's an anchor for the soul. It's also a mirror. Everybody in this audience looked in the mirror this morning. But how many of us looked into the mirror of the soul? James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his face in the glass. He beholdeth, and he goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth therein, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He says also that if we bridle not our tongue, our religion is vain. But pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If you look in that mirror and find the spots on your soul, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change? Are you going to turn from the sin that's in your life? Or are you just going to keep on going until you reach eternal destruction? You see, we need this safety. We need this light. We need this anchor. We need this mirror. We need also the saving power, don't we? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. And so Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 shows not only that we have safety and light and anchor, a mirror and the saving power, but we also have liberty. It's a wonderful freedom. All Scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so we find we're thoroughly furnished. We have what is needful. And we're able to be free and at liberty. Jesus said unto those Jews that believed upon him in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we have in this the real help that we need to return to the safety, the rest, the contentment, the pleasure. Have you missed that? Come home. Come home to the Word of God. That's where it is. And that's where you'll find the strength to continue in life. Now, I know the atheists, the evolutionists, the free thinkers, and the infidels, they're all trying to take our Bible away from us. And there's some people who are letting them without a fight. Friend, I'm not going to do that. I don't want you to do that. And if you have wandered away from the Word of God, I hope you'll come home today. I hope you'll decide to make that your guide, your compass, your chart. And as you do so, you need to return home to the Bible. Why so? Well, because the Bible is that which the Lord contended needed to be preached to man. Paul said to Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, it is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But continue thou in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, suffer the hardship. Now the Lord wants the Word preached. You know, a lot of people don't know why Jesus came into the world. Mark 2:2 says He preached the Word. I like that. Because I don't think a lot of people think Jesus ever preached the Word. They think maybe He came just to settle some affairs of a moral sense. Really not, my friend. He came to preach the Word. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Luke 24:46-47, He said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, if I preach not the gospel, woe is unto me. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. But woe is unto me. That is, misery and shame is upon me if I preach not the gospel. We have no choice as to what we preach if we want to be pleasing to God. We have to preach the gospel. And He says here, necessity is laid upon me. Now, did Paul not have a choice? Oh, yes, he had a choice. So do you. You have a choice as to whether or not you teach, preach, and live the gospel. You don't have to. You ought to want to. You ought to want to. And Paul said, you know, in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said in Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, the wise, and unto the foolish. What made Him a debtor? Same thing that makes you a debtor, the blood of Christ. If you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you're a debtor to help others see the light. And to return home to the Bible is the first step for you to do this. Well, I know 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. Is it foolishness to you to preach the Word? It says in verse 21, seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, that is as men say it is, to save them that believe. Is it foolishness to you? I hope not. I trust that there is nothing wiser in the world than to preach the Word of God. It's the greatest thing we can do for our fellow man. It's the greatest help we can give him. For Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and it's active and it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it's alive to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. No wonder Paul said when he went to Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So many places today have lost their moorings because they've lost their faith. They're not any longer guided by the Word of God like they should be. And so error comes in. They don't seem to know why. Some want to turn themselves into denominations and others don't know why. But they lose their reason to exist when they do. If they've lost their faith and they have no reason to exist, then why would they exist? I admire those who stand. I have not changed my message. I have still preached the gospel the same as I always have. And I don't intend to change that. And I don't know why others want to change that. We hear about the change agents. Are you one of those? You need to come home to the Word of God if you are. Galatians 6:9, he said, as you have therefore, or rather, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap, if we faint not. So here's the standard, God's Word. Let's return to it. It is the home plate from which all other of our blessings come. And let us not stray from it. Let us not wander from it into the things of denominationalism. If we have done so, let's come home. You know, it's needful to come to the Word of God and urgent to preach it because It is the only means through which the Holy Spirit operates on your soul. Whether you be an alien sinner, whether you be a Christian. Oh, I know we have some teaching different today, but it's still true. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate in any way on anybody's soul except through the Word of God. Let me say this statement to you, and I want you to remember it. The only way anybody will ever be saved will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that to be true. But my friends, I think we need to note what the Spirit was to do when He came. John 16:8, as it is spoken to the apostles, He said, He, when He has come, talking of the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world in respect of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment. And you know what? He did. But how did the Holy Spirit convict the world in respect of sin and righteousness and the judgment? Well, in John 16:13, He said, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you, talking to the apostles, into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever things He shall hear, these shall He speak, and He shall show you things which are to come. Well, now He's going to convict the world, and He's going to give the apostles the truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth. But He's going to reveal it completely to them, and they're the only ones who will have any revelation from God. So, let's note what was done and how it was done to convict the world in respect of sin, righteousness, and of the judgment. In Acts 2, we find beginning verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the apostles, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing, mighty wind. It filled all the house wherein they, the apostles, were sitting. Cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, the apostles. Now watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. They began to speak. Did you get that? They began to speak. You know, a lot of people think the Holy Spirit acts funny. He urges and nudges and He whispers and He does many different things. That's not the way the Holy Spirit operated in the text of the Bible. No, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts 2:36, Peter said, Now let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, You repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now it will be observed here, won't it, that when they heard, and then they were moved to action, weren't they? What was it working on them, the Holy Spirit? Well, how was He working on them? Through the Word of God. Oh, that's the reason we need to come back to the Word of God. Because it's the Spirit's medium to work in our hearts. You know, the Corinthians, Acts 18:8, it said, They hearing, believed, and were baptized. Isn't that something? They didn't have any special direction of the Holy Spirit. It was through the Word of God. In Acts 10, we find Cornelius. He heard that God was no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. In Acts 16, Lydia, seller of purple from Thyatira, the Word of God opened her heart, and she was obedient to the gospel. Isn't that a great thing? And then again Saul in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. All of these give the conversion of Saul. And Saul, of course, was converted when he obeyed the gospel. He was told, Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When Paul discussed the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, he said in verse 3 here, Wherefore I make known unto you that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith, Jesus is anathema. No man can say either that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, when we understand this, it's by the Spirit of God, under His influence, nobody would say He was anathema. No one would say He was accursed. But under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they would rather say Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the ruler. So you could tell the difference between truth and error. And so, it is the Holy Spirit, His teaching, by which man knows that Jesus is Lord, isn't it? How do you know Jesus is Lord? Did you hear it in a small, still voice? Or were you convinced by the Word of God that Jesus is the Lord? In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, Now, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you? And also, we can't call Him Lord or ruler until we call Him Savior, can we? Is He your Savior? He's not your Lord unless He is. He came to seek and to save the lost. And You may talk about the Lord being your ruler, but He's not your ruler unless He is your Savior. Well, it is when a person reads or hears the Word of God then that he can say Jesus is Lord, isn't it? And that's the only way he knows it, because that's the way the Spirit has thus worked by the Word. And that is true also in conviction, conversion, and in sanctification. In every instance, it's through the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So here's the truth by which we're set apart or sanctified in the Lord's kingdom. Now, the Scriptures make it evident, do they not? They are the Holy Spirit bearing witness, don't they? 2 Peter 1, 20-21, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private origin or interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Borne along, carried along, that's what moved means there. So I understand here that it is through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit bears witness so that we may know of the Lord Himself. So 2 Timothy 3 again says, all Scripture inspired of God is profitable. And it is, isn't it? For doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. You can't find that anywhere else. And the Holy Spirit's not going to shoot it into you directly. So you need to come home to the Word of God. Let's also notice that the Word of God must be preached because it shows people the way to heaven. You know, it's impossible to go to heaven without direction. Nobody accidentally goes to heaven. Nobody just by chance goes to heaven. It's not a gamble, friend. Hebrews 11:1, though, says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? Faith is. What is the substance of things hoped for? Your faith. But how does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is that light, the only source of light, by which, as we've learned, we're able to see heaven. Where did you learn about heaven? Have you ever been told about it directly? Or was it from the Word of God? Everything you know about heaven, that's where it's revealed, isn't it? So when we see that, we see the light of the gospel. He teaches us to reject sin because it'll send us to hell. And He teaches us to accept truth because doing so we can go to heaven. But we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Word of God. The gospel then is God's law. It is God's light. It is God's love. It is God's grace. And so when we notice that, to those lost in darkness of sin, it is the way home. It's the way out, isn't it? But if you never study the Word, you'll never know it. But understanding it, you can know the way to heaven. You know, we come to God by the way He provided, and the Word shows that way. Isaiah 35:8, He makes a promise there. He said, there is a way, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, and the wayfaring man, yea, though a fool, shall not err therein. How do you know a way is there for you to travel as a redeemed person? Because the Bible says it. Is that the only way you know? That's the only way you know. Are you sure about it? I'm sure about it. It's a promise. A way shall be there, and it'll be for the redeemed. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Oh, I'm so thankful that the prophet made prophecy concerning the way to heaven, and that the Lord fulfilled that in bringing before our minds the narrow way which is entered when we enter into Him. You know, we come to God through being taught. John 6:44-45 says, no man cometh unto the Father except the Father that sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that hath heard and learned cometh unto me. Don't you think we need to come back to the Word of God? We have to hear and listen to the written Word of God, or we're not going to know the revelation of God. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 3. He said, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before unto you in few words, whereby, listen to it, when ye read, ye can understand my understanding of the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is made known unto now His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, isn't that great? If we have the Word of God, we know how to go to heaven. If we don't have the Word of God, we don't know how to go to heaven. In fact, if we leave the Word of God, we leave heaven behind, don't we? Hence, preaching is so important. The Word of God is so important. It's important for us to come to God. It's important for us to live for Him who died for us. Call Him Lord so that we can call Him our Savior too. And you know what? That Word is the life that shows us the way to heaven. John 6:63, He said, "The Spirit giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life." In John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in Revelation 22:14, He said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter in through the gates into the city." Are you going home to heaven? I know that you've come home here today, and we're so pleased that you have. I know that you perhaps have an earthly home to which you can go after you leave here. But where are you going after death? You know, within a moment, you'll know whether or not you have been faithful or not. Because you will either be in the bosom of Abraham and Hades, or you'll raise up your eyes in torment, as the rich man did in Luke 16. There's not a soul in this audience, though, that cannot obey the gospel. If you can hear it and believe it, you can repent of your sins. You can confess the name of Christ. You can be buried with your Lord in baptism. There's not a reason why you can't this morning become a Christian. You did that by the Word of God. Come home to it if you're not at home and study it, live by it, so that one day He may say, "Well done" to you. And if you are a Christian but you've turned aside, come back home today. It's very important because you can't go to heaven in the broad way. Are you subject? Will you come? All together we stand, and while we stand.